Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, welcome back to hour number two as we broadcast live from number one Cochrane Ford in Monroeville. William Penn Highway, put in 3696 William Penn Highway. It'll get you right here. And you can check out their massive selection of Ford F-150s, special financing rates, Bronco, Sports, and Escapes, all at the new number one Cochrane Ford in Monroeville. This used to be the Day Ford, then it was Lithia, now it is number one Cochrane. And you heard Nate there, and that pretty much sums up baseball, doesn't it, in today's world? Each team last night hits four home runs. Each team strikes out 13 times. It's feast or famine, and that's what it's turned into. Batting averages, be damned. No one's going to hit for average anymore. They're just going to hit for power or strikeout. And the Pirates did get to Shohei Ohtani for four home runs, two of them by Henry Davis. He continues to swing a hot bat. The question is, does he continue to play right field? Once again, he made a misplay and an error out there. It allowed a run to score. That's 3 in 6 games. What do they do with him in the future? Is it strictly right field? Do they give him a chance at catcher? And again, I'll repeat this because I believe it. At some point, you have to and see what he has. Just like Jack Suwinski got pinch hit for late in the game, he just hit a 438-foot home run prior to that, and they need runs. And because it's a lefty pitcher, they pinch hit Connor Joe. I wouldn't have done it. You got to give guys opportunities. This is what the rest of the season is all about. 412-928-9370. When I tell you that the text line is available to you, it's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And also Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. You could visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Thank you to PNC Bank for sponsoring our program. Always appreciate that. And, you know, make the day today. Check out their virtual wallet. Always number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. If you can't get here to number one Cochrane Ford in Monroeville, do it online. And Iron Rock Tap House of Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. So we've had a changing of the guard, and it's now Nick Callis, who is in the hot seat, taking over for Nate. So, Nate, thank you very much for that. And in the meantime, we had your phone calls at 412-928-9370. As we get through the second hour here, we'll be talking a lot about the Pirates, of course, but also the Steelers are about to open training camp. What are your expectations of this season, and how diminished is the role of running back? These guys are all complaining about salaries. They don't like franchise tags, but I remind them that it was their union that agreed to franchise tags, so you got to deal with that. You hear talk about starting their own union. That's not going to work because it won't change the way the game is played. The game is played with quarterback, wide receiver, quick strike points generally. You need to have that aspect of your game. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. So if you have a take on that, please let me know, and we'll discuss it. As far as the Steelers are concerned, I look at what they have done in this offseason, and, boy, I can tell you that defensively, they've done some really good things. And you got to like what they have. I'll be anxious to watch specific positions like defensive line. You know Cam Hayward is the anchor there. They brought back Larry Ogunjobi on a big deal, even though he had, you know, some injury situations prior to that, but not enough that they're discouraged, so they gave him three more years, like $28 million. They have Montrevious Adams still there. Somehow he found a home on this team, and he's been productive when he's gotten in there. They expect Marvin Leal to take a step forward, and of course they drafted Keanu Benton a second round pick, and they have high expectations that he can move right in there and play and you know, really kind of solidify the middle between Hayward and Ogunjobi. Now, that makes me wonder about Isaiah Loudermilk, because they brought him in as a fifth round pick, a big dude, 6'7", almost 300 pounds, but his stock seems to have fallen a little bit. We'll see more in training camp, and they have others there, but those are the principles we're talking about. I think linebacker, and now that they signed Highsmith with that $68 million extension, he and Watt, number one, number two, behind him. You know, Nick Herbig was somebody they brought in from Wisconsin. Marcus Golden has been around. He's older, like 33 years old, 47 sacks or so over eight seasons. He can be productive. Quincy Roche's brought back, and then the rest of them, I'm not sure they have a spot. The inside linebacker spot is going to be very interesting because they do have a whole new cast of characters there. No longer do you have Devin Bush gone to Seattle. You don't have Miles Jack gone. You don't have others there. Robert Spillane is gone. So those three guys are all gone. The only guy who returns is Mark Robinson, a second-year guy. But they've certainly gone out and changed the whole dynamics there by signing Landon Roberts, a veteran, Cole Holcomb, a veteran. They brought in Nick Kwiatkowski. You might remember him from his days at Bethel Park where he won I believe they won a championship. I can't remember, but he went to West Virginia after that. And he's a guy who has NFL experience. Cornerbacks, the big thing will be, can Joey Porter Jr. come right in and start? Patrick Peterson, Levi Wallace will be there. Beyond that, Corey Trice Jr. is another guy they have high expectations for. So we'll see what the bottom line is with that defense. But I think the defense, people argue about how much money the Steelers spend on their defense. Well, it is what it is. They believe that you can still win games that way. To me, you got to do both. You know, you have to do both. You have to win games with defense, but you also have to be able to win games with quick strikes and scoring 24 to 28 points a game. If you can do that, you make it a lot easier on your defense. People forget, too, when they look at the Steelers and spending, they haven't had to spend a lot in free agency because they have drafted high draft picks on offense. Kenny Pickett, a first-round pick. Najee Harris, a first-round pick. They haven't gotten to big paydays yet, right? You got Freiermuth, who is very well thought of, a draft pick. You have George Pickens, a draft pick, second round. You know, all these guys, they invested in offense. They just didn't do it in free agency. Most of that money has gone to defense, which is also maybe an indictment of some of the drafting they've done on defense. But don't make the mistake of thinking they haven't invested in their offense. They certainly have. 412-928-9370. Rich in Forest Hills joins us right now, live from number one Cochran Ford in Monroeville. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Bob. Well, always good to talk to you on the weekend. Time for the weekly pirate rant. You know, their rebuild hasn't gone like the Houston Astros rebuild has gone. You know, I'm going to restate some points I've made to you previously. They just don't have any superstar-level talent anywhere in their organization. And it's going to be interesting to see how these new guys that have come up pan out over time. I think I made this point to you before. Hopefully they got a B-level player head. Hopefully this Paul Skeens will be their Garrett Cole. But, you know, and the last guy that called talked about Andujar. I kind of agree with him. The Pirates are at that point now where, you know, you're not going to put Rich Hill on the bench because you want to see what some young kids can do. You want to be able to unload whatever you can. You let G-Man Choi play. Let him pop a home run every fourth game. See what you can get for him, Rich Hill. Same with Andujar. He may not be part of the Pirates' future. But, you know, with what he's done in AAA ball, there are a lot of teams that have lost outfielders this year. Outfielders have gone down. Jordan Luplo just got called back up, if you can believe that. That guy strikes out more than anybody on the Pirates. So they got a lot of work to do, but it all comes back to they just do not have the management team. And the last point, I know other people want to talk to you, part of my weekly rant, Derek Shelton is not the man. He in no way reminds you of Jim Leland, who came in under similar situation. You know, there's an old axiom in baseball. When you play 162 games, you're going to win a third, you're going to lose a third, and that middle third is where, you know, the division champs are made. Yeah, Derek Shelton's bumping his butt on the 33%. And you can blame a lot of that on talent, but, you know, that's a convenient excuse. I don't think this guy's a teacher. I don't think he's in the long term. He's not a Craig Council. That's the kind of manager they need. They need to find a young Jim Leland. It's time. I hate to say this, but if they keep going on the road they're going with the wait till next year, wait till 25, it's going to be wait till 30, wait till 35.
Well, that's you're right, Rich, and thanks for the call. Always appreciate the rant. But, you know, that's the criticism of how they do business. It's always kicking it down the road a little bit, and we've gotten to the point now where this is year four for Ben Cherington. You know, at some point, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast here today, these guys who are up here right now represent their future. There are not too many others down there at this point who you can count on or at least look at and say, well, they're going to be people who can get up here. They need O'Neill Cruz to be a star. He's injured. He may not play again this year. They need Henry Davis to be a star. Does he have that in his – and where does he be a star at? Is he going to be just a right fielder? And he's not a very good one right now. That's no disrespect for him. He just hasn't learned how to play that position. Do they stick him at first base? There's no guarantee he's going to end up there. And then Brian Hayes continues to be a disappointment. I get it. He has a back problem, may not be back until August. It's always something with him. They invested a lot of money in him, and they've not gotten the bat specifically. Jared Triolo is showing that he's just as capable. He's not as good as, don't get me wrong, but he's just as capable defensively to play third. And right now he has a 12-game hitting streak, so or 13 or whatever. He continued it last night. So I don't. They don't have many. Skeens better be dominant. Keller needs to continue what he's doing. You know, all of this stuff has to go on for them to be looked at as somewhat of a contender. And if it doesn't happen in the next year or two, who comes up next? What is their future? So it's now with these guys. And that's why I would play them a lot and put them in positions where they're going to have to learn adversity of the game. Let's go to John in the car driving around Western PA. What's up, John?
Oh, hey, I love your show. Always a great show. Hey, about the Steelers, do you know what the average points per game their defense gave up last year?
It wasn't top 10, so I don't know. I don't have that number in front of me. But, for what they put into their defense in terms of salary, they weren't getting the kind of bang for their buck they needed.
Yeah, so let's just say the defense plays up to what they're purported to be. And the way I look at the Steeler offense, Kenny Pickett, he can run an offense. I mean, he showed spurts last year being able to take that team up and down the field. They don't have that big play strike type offense yet, but I think he was harnessed back because they didn't want to make mistakes. But I do see where they need to drastically improve. If you're going to run a running game with a defense-oriented club, your efficiency in the red zone has to be really good. Too many times they get down there and they settle for field goals. You've got to score touchdowns, and if you're going to keep teams to a certain point, I think you can compete in this league. But that's where I see where they drastically have to improve is in that red zone.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, they got weapons to do it as well, which is another reason why I think the running back position will be depreciated here in the red zone. If you're them and you have a big Pat Freiermuth, you have a big Darnell Washington, you have a big George Pickens, you have a lot of guys who can go in the red zone and become mismatches for defenses. To me, those are the guys are going to be highlighted in those situations. So getting back to the running back and how disposable they can be, you don't see many of them do it. You know, Austin Eckler was one of the few who became a touchdown machine, and he's another one complaining about the salary he makes. But to your point, you're right. Defense, it makes it a lot easier to play defense when your offense scores. If they're constantly not doing it and settling for field goals, your defense better be spot on. And they have a good enough defense to win a lot of games. But this offense will be the key. The key is Kenny Pickett and how much they allow him to have the freedom to be the quarterback that he should be at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, if you eat up time on the clock and keep your defense off the field, they're going to be even better because they're not wore out. But, I mean, I can remember back in the day, and I'm going back a while, I remember playing high school football against Joe Montana. Now, Joe Montana wasn't a huge guy. And even I remember coming out of college, he wasn't what you would call the super arm, super this. But they stuck him in the right offense with the right coordinator, and he managed a game. And he had a great receiver in Jerry Rice, and when that opened up, he hit him. I just look at, you know, Kenny Pickett. I'm not saying he's Joe Montana, but you need a guy that can see the field and read defenses. And if you got, if you're in the right offensive scheme and you use his talents, I think we're going to be pretty good.
Thank you, John. I think a lot of people agree that they can be good. Again, we'll find out. I think the trust level has increased among the coaching staff when it comes to Kenny Pickett. They know that he can make certain throws. His ability to process seems one of his strengths, to me anyway. I mean, he looks like he can go through progression of reads. He did it last year as a raw rookie when he got in there, and after they took the shackles off a little bit, where he can go through it progression-wise, come up with the right throw at the right time, and then use his accuracy. His arm is not to be confused with Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers. His arm is what it is, but it's good enough where they should be able to do some deeper slants into the middle of the field, which is another area that I thought they ignored largely. They need to do more of that because it's you have guys who can do that. I think Allen Robinson, I'm very bullish on Allen Robinson. Now, I realize he had a bad last year in terms of injuries, whatever. But if you go back to his real big times in Jacksonville, the guy can do a lot of stuff in the middle of the field. And I think that's going to be the one area where he can also, you know, really help a guy like Calvin Austin, the third, who is, you know, coming back from a big injury. They need him to be somebody who can eventually get in there and do things as well.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
Thank you, John. You do the same. 412-928-9370. Just an update from the Open Championship. Brian Harman still leads, but John Rahm, in case you missed the shot, an 8-under-63. He was 12 shots back after 36 holes, and now he's 3 back and in second place for now. There are a lot of golfers still on the golf course, including guys like Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood, and Rory McIlroy. Pirates in action against Anaheim again tonight, and you know, this is a situation where if you're Anaheim, one of the big questions they're trying to figure out is what to do with Shohei Ohtani. So I ask you, would you acquire him knowing that he still would be a free agent at the end of this year if you don't sign him? So you could very well have him. You'd have to give up a ton to do it. Is it worth it for a team like Baltimore, for example? They're right now leading Tampa. They've overcome the Tampa Rays. Baltimore has one of the best records in baseball. Or is it going to be one of those teams that just has a lot of money? They're going to try to do whatever they got to do to get him. Or if you're Anaheim, do you want to keep him? But how do you convince him that you're going to be a winning team? Because ultimately, if you saw, you know, Shohei Ohtani wants to be in meaningful games. He wants to be in marquee situations. We saw it at the World Baseball Classic. We saw what he can do in that situation. We saw how important it was to him. If he knows he's not going to be able to be competitive in Anaheim, he likely would be wanting out of there. So at the trade deadline, that is going to be one of the more interesting things to see of recent time. What do you do with Shohei Ohtani, and how much do you offer up to get him, and are you willing to sign him beyond this year? Very interesting, and I wonder what kind of teams would be involved. I throw Baltimore in there just because they've done a lot of very good things with this roster they have. And they got a local guy who's their GM doing wonderful things down there. And would they be willing to do that in an effort to win now? Because you can argue they have a very decent chance of doing that in the American League, at least getting to a World Series. 412-928-9370. Last night, the Pirates lit up Shohei Ohtani. You wouldn't have expected the Pirates to do that. 4 home runs, first time he's ever done that in terms of giving up. And Henry Davis, first time ever that a player's hit 2 home runs against Shohei Ohtani, and Davis hit both of them. 1 to right field, and then he went a nice piece of batting to opposite field. Both big clouts. 412-928-9370. We'll take more calls when we come back. We are live, as I said, at number 1 Cochran Ford in Monroeville. It's on William Penn Highway. It's not at their Mega Center. It's down the road from there, but a great location. 3696 William Penn Highway. Come see their great selection of Ford F-150s. Got special financing offers for you. Bronco Sports, Escapes, you name it, they got it. Lots of inventory at number 1 Cochran Ford, Monroeville. We're back on a beautiful Saturday here in Pittsburgh. Bob Pompiani Show. We're live and on location at number 1 Cochran Ford in Monroeville. William Penn Highway, come on down. We got some great deals. This is the third Ford dealership under the number one Cochran umbrella. They have one in Allegheny Valley, Butler County, and then this one right here, number one Cochran Ford Monroeville, just joining the team. All three celebrating this weekend with grand opening offers. You get three times the pricing power, three times the selection, and three times the thrills at number one Cochran Monroeville Ford. Check it out. In the meantime, let's go back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We got Jim in the truck. Jim, do you like Ford F-150s?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I'm driving a tractor trailer right now, though, Bob.
Okay.
Hey, but anyway, I have a Ford Fusion Titanium. It's nice. But anyway, you know, I remember a few years ago that Art Rooney was having a press conference that they needed a mobile quarterback to complement Matt Canada because he was a genius in reference to offensive coordination. And I don't believe, and I have no clue why he is still the offensive coordinator. I'm wondering when they're going to actually push him out the door, if it at all this early this year, I hope, because I believe Kenny Pickett deserves somebody better. And then they go get Trubisky and nothing happens. They draft Kenny Pickett. It seems as if Matt Canada is not a genius as what they believe him to be. What do you believe about this, and do you think he should still be the OC?
First of all, I don't think anyone used the word genius, Jim. I think, you know, he had a history with Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett. I think because he's in his second year here, this all corresponds with 1 year left on a contract. This is make or break for Matt Canada. The results that will happen or lack of them will determine what happens to him in the future. But they didn't want to bring in another offensive coordinator year two, start this thing all over. At some point, they may have to do that, but they're going to let this work its way out. And we better start seeing a little bit more in terms of disparities or differences when it comes to some of these play calls, and not so much, you know, jet sweeps are fine, but you can't have a steady diet of them all the time, and that seems to be it. A lot of this falls back on whether or not Kenny Pickett can process. I think he showed them he can, so therefore they should unshackle him a little bit more and let him do some things. And this will be the test for Matt Canada, utilizing these people to the point where they can get into the 24 points per game average range. Because if they do that, then you can make the case that he's going to get another contract and be here. If not, then they can make a change.
Do you think he is limited from Coach Tomlin on the play calling?
I think last year, because they had a whole, it was, you know, first year after Ben Roethlisberger, they wanted to be more cautious, and they kept preaching about, you know, not making turnovers. But when you're cautious, you look, you know, anyone in sports knows this, if you play enough, if you're thinking to be, you know, cautious to the point where you don't make mistakes and you're emphasizing no mistakes, you're going to end up making mistakes. And you have to be willing to trust certain guys. And I think that's what last year was all about for Kenny Pickett. They know that they can trust him in terms of his processing of plays and reads. And I think that will open up things this year. But yes, I thought last year they were very much conservative in how they approached their quarterback play.
Yeah, because I think, like you had mentioned before, Kenny Pickett does show progression in the reads. Especially after the first couple games, after he got the butterflies out, I think he could be a very good quarterback for us. I just think they're limiting him too much. And even when Ben was there and even when Trubisky was in there, they wouldn't throw that ball down the field but 5-6 times a game.
Yeah, and I think you'll see a change in that. I think you have to at this point. They have too many weapons. They would not have done everything they've done on offense if they weren't going to utilize down the field more. They brought in a lot of good players here, high pedigree players on offense, and now it's time to kind of unshackle them together and let them see what they can do. So I expect George Pickens to have a really big year. I do. Deontay Johnson's going to want the ball. He'll probably get more targeted than anyone else. Last year was such a ridiculous, you know, line on him with 86 catches but zero touchdowns. You very seldom ever have seen something like that. So he needs to get in the end zone more, and I think you'll see more slant plays with him featuring more opportunities to run after the catch. That's where he's at his best, I think. So I'll be very interested to see how this goes, especially in the preseason. I think you're going to – here's another interesting question they're going to have to take. How much play do you give Kenny Pickett? You know, Jim, because this is now he's your starter. There's no, last year was a roster battle, so all three were going to play. Now you know who's your starter, but he still needs time. How much do you play him in the preseason?
Well, with his concussion history right now, I'd be cautious with him and give him maybe a a quarter in the second game and a half in the third game prior to the regular season. But, Bob, I want you to know I appreciate you as a broadcaster and being so faithful to Pittsburgh. You're awesome. Have a good day.
I appreciate, Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate the kind words. 412-928-9370. So I think that is going to be one of the interesting things to see how much time. And their offensive line, they brought in some veterans who don't necessarily need time in preseason games, although as a unit you do need time to kind of gel together. That's important. When you have, say, Amalu in there, he's new to that position, of course, and you have a battle going on at left tackle. Left tackle will be very interesting because, you know, Dan Moore Jr. is the incumbent. He'll be listed number one on the depth chart. But I think Mike Tomlin does that more out of courtesy to a veteran. He's been there. He's seen what he can do. You did not draft Broderick Jones to be a backup. That's for certain. So it's just a matter of when they see enough of him to put him in. And if you go through the preseason games and you see some really good stuff there, I think Broderick Jones will end up being the starter there, but he will be pushed by Dan Moore. And it's nice to have some depth at that position as well. 412-928-9370. I'm very excited to see this offense go and what they're going to do with it. Again, I don't know you'll see all that much in terms of flamboyant offensive play calling in the preseason, but you should see enough so that you have guys like Darnell Washington, who should be a nice physical runner for their run game, but he's the kind of guy who, fourth-round pick, he had a lot of people think he was worth more than a fourth-round pick. He can be a guy who steps right in and becomes a playmaker in the red zone. It all gets underway this Wednesday. For us, that's when players report. This Thursday, July 27th, is the first practice open to the public. That's at 1:55. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. Pirates in action again against Anaheim tonight. Shohei Ohtani continues to be. I'd like to get some of your thoughts about what you would do if you're like, for me, I'm trading him. And I know that may be sacrilegious to those who believe that he is a moneymaker. To me, they need a lot in Anaheim. They don't have a lot right now. They have two of the best players in the game, generational talents, and they can't win, Trout and Ohtani. You have an opportunity to get something for him. I would do that right now. I know the international marketing money that you get from a guy like Shohei Ohtani is big. Franchise makes a lot of money, but it's going to cost a lot of money. He's at the end of a deal. What do you do? I'll try to get as much as I can for him and move him to somebody else. What would you do at 412-928-9370? As far as the Pirates are concerned, you know, you would expect Santana to be traded. You would expect Rich Hill to be traded. You would expect maybe even Connor Joe. I don't know what you're going to get, you know, for those guys combined. It won't be all that much, to be honest with you, but if it's somebody that you can somehow come up with, like, for example, they got O'Neill Cruz in a trade, which at the time, because he was so young, people didn't know much about him and whether or not he was capable of progressing to the point where he has. If you can get somebody like that, and it may not be for a few years that you find out the results of it, that's the kind of deal maybe Ben Cherington should be looking to make. Anyway, we will take more calls here at 412-928-9370 as we're live at number one Cochran Ford in Monroeville. I also want to tell you about Jam Fest because it is back for another year. If you've never been there, you should. It's on August the 12th at North Park. It's 3-on-3 basketball for grades 3 through adult. So you have recreational and adult championship games, all team tickets. They proceed the Folds of Honor, which is a great program honoring military veterans and their families. There are going to be food trucks there on display. You got tip-off at 10 a.m. on August the 12th. There's going to be a Coach Dave Gray Kids Zone. If you want more details and to register, go online. You can do it at the events page at 937thefan.com. Our thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day of PNC. Number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com, including here at number one Cochran Ford in Monroeville. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. More calls on the way as we get close to 1 o'clock and the beginning of the Paul Alexander Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Beautiful day in Pittsburgh as we get ready for Steelers training camp beginning this week at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. We are live today at number one Cochran Ford in Monroeville. Yeah, it's another Ford dealership, the third under the Cochran umbrella. This one right here on 3696 William Penn Highway. Great selection of Ford F-150s. A lot of people like that vehicle. Special financing rates. We got Bronco Sports, Escapes. Come on down. Check it all out for you. And they have grand opening offers going on here as well. 412-928-9370. An update on the Open Championship as Brian Harman has increased his lead. He's minus 10, four better than John Rahm, who, in case you missed it, shot an 8-under-63 today. That is a Royal Liverpool record. He was 12 shots off the pace. Now he's four off the pace and all alone in second place at this point. So he's made a big jump in just one round. We're also talking about whether or not you think the running back position in football deserves to get more money or not. Is it a disposable position compared to others? The Steelers and some of the stuff they're going to be facing in this season, starting with training camp, we'll get into that. And the question I ask right now, and I've just put it on Twitter, would you trade Shohei Ohtani? Would you want to be the GM in Anaheim to pull that deal, knowing how wonderful of a generational player that is, but they haven't been able to win with or without him, with or without Mike Trout, with or without Pujols, with or without Anthony Rendon. These guys are all big money players, and yet the results have not been good. What do you do? 412-928-9370. Greg in Youngstown joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Good. Hey, Bob. You know, I was, watching the Pirates, and you know what? They got some core players in Davis and Cruz, even Swinski and Reynolds, but they got to build up this pitching staff. So instead of going into the trade deadline trading people, we should be trading for some arms going into next year. They should try to go into the end of the season building upon the team to go into next season. You know, because there's like absolutely no pitching on this team. When they go to that bullpen, it is like gasoline on fire. It is horrible.
Yeah, it is. But how do you get it? What do you do to get more pitching? To me, you got to go out and buy it in free agency, but they don't like to do that.
Minor league, young guys in the minor leagues, start getting some arms. Trade some guys, get some other guys. You got to be smart. This GM has to be smart and know how to move players and move pieces. That's his job. And one more thing. Okay, maybe they don't want to fire Shelton, but that hitting coach and pitching coach got to go next year. Both these guys got to be gone. And he has to get two guys that are really good at what they do. Because if they don't, they're still going to lose 100 games next year. Because those two guys don't know what they're doing as coaches.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to say that, Greg, and I appreciate the call. But a lot of times you can blame the coaching all you want, but it's just maybe the lack of talent. Although I do think the responsibility is to see guys develop, and I don't see a lot of that going on in certain cases. I do see it. You know, Sawinski's power is what it is, but I'd like to see him become a little bit more disciplined at the plate to the point where he can go to the opposite field once in a while, hit for a little bit more average. He doesn't have to hit 280, but if he can hit, 250 and give you that kind of power, that would be good. Brian Hayes continues to be an enigma, somebody they gave a lot of money to largely because of his defense with the hope that he could hit, and he hasn't been able to hit. Now he's got a back problem. Is that him? Is that them? I mean, you can look at these kind of situations and blame anyone you want, but I think it's an overall organizational thing. I don't think they have as much talent as some of these other organizations, and I think they have to find it, and then when they find it, develop it. Thanks for the call, Greg. 412-928-9370 is the number. Alex Highsmith got a new deal, $27 million guaranteed, $68 million, which means he's here for a while. Those two guys, T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, will be the core of the outside linebackers for quite a bit. And, bottom line is, if they can get the pressure from the outside, as long as that inside is to the point where they can contain some of the run games, it's going to be a very effective offense. And not necessarily, people look at stats and they like sacks. Sacks are good to a degree. It's when you get sacks, it's how you get sacks that matter more than the number of sacks you get. So they have to be better and pressuring quarterbacks into mistakes. That's where I think this defense will ultimately be good. Even if they don't get the big sack numbers like you would expect them, they've led the league for the last 5 years in sacks. You're not going to see 22.5 like T.J. Watt got a few years ago. That's just outlandish to think you can do it again. It's hard enough to do it once. But if they get pressure and it results in turnovers, that's the one number I want to see more of, turnovers on defense. They got guys who are active back there. Minka Fitzpatrick, now with DeMonte KZ, who seems to be a guy who has a nose for the football. And, of course, two big cornerbacks they brought in, and Joey Porter Jr., as well as Corey Trice. Corey Trice is going to be interesting for me to watch. He's a later-round pick. He had injuries. But, boy, the guy has a lot of talent, and he's also big. He's 6'3", just like Joey Porter Jr. Those guys, if they're in your face making plays, they don't necessarily have to make interceptions all the time, but if they can be good in coverage – this defense can take a step forward. The inside linebacking is all new. I have no idea what to expect. It's been a Chase situation ever since they lost Ryan Chazier. They've gone through a whole bunch of people, and now it's a whole new slate of guys. So we'll see what they're capable of doing or not coming up here. I want to thank once again PNC Bank, make today the day, for sponsoring our program, as they've done for many, many years. Number one, Cochran, as always, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. If you can't get out to one of their great dealerships like this one here, number one, Cochran Ford in Monroeville on William Penn Highway. It's brand new. Come on out and take advantage of some of the deals they have going on, especially on Ford F-150s. And a big thank you to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, right by the live casino. Come see what everyone's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. Tom in McCandless has tapped into the program right now. What's up, Tom?
A question for you, Bob. What is a hitting instructor's job in the major leagues? Shelton came to us from Minnesota.
It's to develop.
Okay, Shelton came to us from Minnesota as a, he was a hitting instructor there. We have one hitting instructor coach on the staff. I go back a ways with the Pirates, and in the mid-60s, they hired Harry Walker as a manager, and he was a hitting guru. And they acquired Matty Alou from the San Francisco Giants. When he was with the Giants, the 2 years before he was with the Pirates, I think he was hitting 240, 250. Harry Walker turned him into a National League batting champion.
Harry the Hat. Yeah, he was good at that. And there were a lot of guys. And you're never going to have the success with everybody you have. There's no question about that. Not even the best hitting coaches in the game have done that. But you can make strides with each of these guys. I look at situational hitting. The hardest thing I see right now, Tom, is the fact that these guys are striking out so much. And it's not just here, it's everywhere. Last night, in case you missed it, the Pirates and Angels each hit 4 home runs, 8 home runs total in the game, but they struck out a combined 26 times.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know where it's all headed that direction, but I prefer people who can move the ball around, you know, and do things other than just the long ball, because the long ball, for every one home run you hit, you're going to strike out quite a bit if you're looking to hit that ball.
Yeah. Well,
but that, to me, that's the job. You got to evaluate how these guys are doing in terms of you know, where they were when you got them and where they are now. And you can break it down case by case. Brian Reynolds goes through hot streaks and cold streaks. You know, I don't know how much it's Andy Haynes or him. You know, he's a veteran. He should know how to hit, right?
You'd think. They're major leaguers, but you know, when you hear the comment, well, you know, we're not hitting, and that when we start hitting, it becomes contagious. Do you need a hitting instructor for that?
Yeah, I hear you, Tom. It's one of those great debates that every team has. Thanks for the call, appreciate it. At 412-928-9370. Let's go to Bridgeville. We got Jim joining us right here on our remote location at number one Cochran Ford Monroeville. What's up, Jim?
Bob, why won't they think of putting Cruz, turn him into a first baseman, leave Brian on third, Trillo at short? He can hit. Now you have power on the corner. He's got the build for a first baseman.
Yeah, they like him at shortstop. I wouldn't rule out that. I would also rule out him playing right field and Henry Davis at first. Who knows where this is all headed? You know, they have Leover Piguero at their shortstop position. He's a guy they really like. And Leover Piguero, maybe he's their future guy. I don't know what his bat offers versus Cruz. See, to me, if I can get – this is how I look at it. If O'Neill Cruz can hit the way I think he's capable of hitting and play a fairly good shortstop, that's an advantage because you get power from a position that you wouldn't normally. If Henry Davis can hit the way you think he can as a catcher, that's an advantage because, again, you're getting power from a position you wouldn't expect it. Then it's their job to go out and find more people to give you more offensive punch at those positions, whether it's first, whether it's third, or right field.
Yeah, I get it. I just think he has the build. I mean, he looks like an old-fashioned first baseman, and he can field and he can hit.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Can he play first base? I don't even know that. I mean, you're going to be teaching guys these new positions just like they're doing with Henry Davis right now. It's kind of tough to do it at this level, but
I think this is all for next year. They, you know, work on it at the back half of the season and get ready for next year.
which is why I didn't like them hitting for Suwinski last night, lefty on lefty. I want to see him face his knock is he can't hit left-handed pitching, but how are you going to get better at it if you never face it? You have to face it once in a while. Thanks, Jim. Let's go out to Nathan in Wexford. Nathan, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Great. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. What's up?
Good. Question. So you hear all the, like, people on ESPN, I forget the guy's name, Colin Cowherd, criticizing how the Steelers are building their team compared to the Chiefs. I really think our main focus when we build a team is to win the AFC North and not – I don't think they think beyond that winning the division. I just wanted your thoughts on that. I could be in left field, but that's just how I've viewed the draft, how I think they are building the team. They focus on Baltimore. They got to play them twice. They focus on, you know, putting the big guys in the trenches kind of thing. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think obviously every team wants to win a division. That's your first goal if you're going to have it, Nate. But how you assemble a team is how you view your team. And I think the Steelers have always prided themselves on being physical defensively. That doesn't mean you should ignore what's going on offense. And while Colin Cowherd, who I think does a very good job, and I heard what he said, while he said that Kansas City is loaded up on offense, which they have, they obviously got a little bit of break and that nobody took Mahomes until they did 10th overall in that draft, they've built around him, and that they should. But they've done it by going out and, you know, not only drafting but signing some guys. I think the Steelers have not ignored the offense the way he seemed to imply. I think they've just done it in a different way. They're not spending a ton of money on it yet because most of the people they've brought in are all number one, number two picks on offense. They're high-caliber guys, and if they can become good, now you're going to eventually pay them. It all starts with Pickett. How much improvement will you see to the point where he can, you know, jump up and get the kind of money that it's going to take to keep a quarterback of that caliber? So they haven't ignored their offense in terms of putting money into it. They've just done it by going out and drafting guys instead of paying for guys right off the bat. So Kansas City's done a little differently. Yeah, would you prefer Kansas City the way they've done it? If you had Patrick Mahomes, yes, you would. But I think in time, yes, Kenny Pickett may have that same sort of abilities, and if they have it, then they're going to have to, you know, supply him with what he needs, and I think they've done a pretty good job of that in this offseason.
Good deal. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Nate. You have a good day in Wexford. Thank you. That's going to wrap it up. Seth Davis is here, not the CBS Seth Davis. It's Seth Davis from 93.7 The Fan on site. We want to thank our hosts here today, number one Cochran Ford in Monroeville. It's a great place to come. If you're not familiar, it's right on William Penn Highway. It's not in the Mega Centers, right down the road, 3696 William Penn Highway. Got some great deals that you should take advantage of. Grand opening specials. This is the third Ford dealership for number one Cochran. And they're here waiting for you to come in and check out their selection of Ford F-150s as well as Bronco Sports and Escapes. And want to tell you that our show, once again, brought to you by PNC Bank. Thank you, PNC Bank. Thank you for number one Cochran. Thank you to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Go see what everybody's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. And we're going to leave you now with a look at the weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Sun Chevrolet, summer is here. Come check out their Trailblazer, Equinox, and all-new redesigned 2024 Trax online, sunchevy.com. Today, if you go outside, you see it's a pleasant day. High should reach about 79, maybe 80, but that's very comfortable compared to what it's been. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 59. Tomorrow, more sun on the way with a high of 83 degrees. Want to remind you, number one Cochran also is the host of our number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night at 11:35. But tonight at 11:35, Saturday night, we have an all-access Steeler training camp preview as the Steelers will be cranking it up this week at St. Vincent College in Latrobe.